Good morning, everyone. We're glad to see you at our morning worship. We welcome you in the Saviour's great name. Hebrews chapter 4, just the final two verses to guide our thoughts at the beginning of our worship service. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We're singing together the words of Horatius Bonner's great hymn of worship, hymn number 35, Glory be to God the Father, glory be to God the Son, glory be to God the Spirit, great Jehovah, three in one. So let's stand together as we sing our opening praise, please. We're going to bow together before the Lord. Let's just settle our hearts as we come to prayer this morning. Cry for the Lord's help through the meeting and give to him the praise, the thanks of our hearts, just for all his many blessings to us. Father, we approach your throne. We ask thee to reverence our hearts at the outset of the meeting. Remember, your word says that you're greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and had in reverence of all them that are about thee. We pray, Father, that awe will come upon our hearts today, that we're in thy presence, that we're gathered together before the Lord of all the universe. Remember, Father, what we considered even on Wednesday night in the Bible study of the fear of God, and that man, that woman that fears the Lord. Nehemiah said, so did not I, because of the fear of the Lord. We ask that that will be evident, Father, in our hearts, our lives, not just on the Sabbath when we're in the meetings, but day by day in all we do, in all our dealings with others. We pray, Father, that that fear, that reverence, that awe of Jehovah will be upon our hearts, especially now as we're gathered before Thee. We pray that You'll prepare our hearts even for this time of worship. We ask You to settle our hearts. We pray, Father, that You'll give to us even the heart that David had. He was a man after God's own heart. Lord, we ask for such a heart today, a heart for the things of God, a heart for Thy word, a heart to do ever those things that are right and that are pleasing in Thy sight. We think of the words that we've sung together. Glory be to God the Father. Glory be to God the Son. Glory be to God the Spirit, great Jehovah, three in one. We acknowledge, Father, today Your greatness. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. We acknowledge the greatness of Your power. You're the Almighty, You're the omnipotent God. How that encourages our hearts, Father, even as we come to seek Thee in prayer, that what You've promised You're able to perform, that there's nothing that is too hard for Thee. We ask, Father, that in our services today, that we will glorify the Lord. Your word says, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. We remember the answer of the catechism that each of us have learnt as children, that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. We pray, Father, that that will be the desire, the motive of our hearts in all that we do, that we'll ever seek to bring glory and honour and praise to Thy great name. We ask Thee to remember our congregation. We praise Thee for all that are gathered today. We thank You, Father, for our brethren and sisters in Christ. Encourage us each one. Make us an encouragement the one to the other. Help us to be like Barnabas, and the man in the New Testament church that was the great encourager, the son of consolation. Lord, give to us such a heart, such an outlook. Give to us such a life, a personality, such a ministry. Even in these very difficult, discouraging days, we pray, Father, that we'll not discourage one another, but we'll not discourage the hearts of Thy people, but we'll seek to be an encouragement, the one to the other. Remember those, Father, with heavy burdens upon their hearts today, concerned because of circumstances through which they're passing. We rejoice in the throne of grace, even what we've read today already. We can come boldly to that throne to obtain mercy, find grace to help in our time of need. We thank You for the sympathizing Savior, the one that can identify with us, the one who in all points was tempted like as we are. So we pray, draw us closer to Christ today. Help us even now, as we're bowed before Thee, to be able to cast all our cares upon Thee. And we rejoice in that knowledge, the assurance that You care for us. We thank You, Father, for yesterday, for the good weather that You granted, for the work on the church grounds. We thank You for all that were present, for such a good number that gathered. We remember the days of Nehemiah, the people had a mind to work, and we rejoice that that was evident among all that were present yesterday and all that was accomplished. We thank You for that, for prospering the labours of Your servants here. We thank You, Father, for safekeeping as well, and the good times of fellowship that were known and enjoyed. We ask You to remember today, Father, the meeting here this morning. Break the bread of life to us. We pray for a word from God. We ask today, Father, speak to us. We pray for a word from Thy mouth. And we remember the service tonight. We ask, Father, for tokens for good, those invited, those that have been long prayed for. Bring them along to the house of God. We pray for a good number to be present, many relatives, parents and grandparents, even many other siblings, brothers and sisters too. O God, we ask for the hand of God upon the meeting. Help the children as they participate. We pray that You'll use them. We pray the program will be a means of speaking to the hearts of all that will be present. Remember our brother, Mr. McConnell, that will come to speak. Pray give him the help of God. Direct him very clearly in the message that he would bring. And Father, our prayers, you'll speak through them. And we ask that even as the meeting will draw to a close, and as the word of God goes forth, there'll be hearts that will be touched, and there'll be those that will be brought to Christ. We pray you'll crown this season of work among the children with salvation blessing. And we thank you, Father, today for the faithfulness of all our leaders and labourers in both the bright hours, the work that has been engaged in, the commitment to that work, even right through the winter time. Pray you'll bless and encourage every heart, every worker and leader for their labours. And we pray that they especially will be blessed through the service tonight and all that takes place. We ask you to hear our cries now. Continue with us. Guide us, Father, through this meeting. May it be evident that we're knowing and experiencing the help of thy Spirit. We pray these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. The 30th paraphrase, please. We're going to further sing to the Lord's praise based on the words of the prophet Hosea, chapter 6, the opening four verses. Come, let us to the Lord our God with contrite hearts return. Our God is gracious, nor will leave the desolate to mourn. We're going to think especially today about the heart. And the opening verse speaks about the contrite heart. So think of the words as we stand just now to sing them together, please. Reading together, please, in the scriptures from Luke's Gospel, the 4th chapter. Luke chapter 4. Beginning to read the 14th verse. So Luke chapter 4, please, the verse 14. Let's hear the word of the Lord to our hearts today. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book. Just to take a moment to point out to you, we've often emphasized the importance of comparing scripture with scripture. You'll notice there in verse 17, there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. That is Isaiah chapter 61, particularly the opening verses of the chapter. It's very significant. You might read it very quickly, think nothing of it. When the reading is over, you close the book. In verse 20, it says, "And he closed the book." The Lord Jesus actually closed the book in the middle of the verse, or the middle of the passage. He didn't complete the passage that he was reading from. So the closing of the book there is something that's very significant. In Isaiah 61, the verse says, "To proclaim," if you follow, just verse 19, "to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn." So it's very interesting. The Savior didn't finish the passage. When he closed the book and reached it back to the minister again, there was still a little bit of that passage, a little bit of what is being set out in Isaiah 61 of the ministry of the Lord Jesus. The reason for that, remember that there's no mistakes in the Bible, guided by the Spirit, inspiration, those that wrote the book, that the latter part of the verse 2 of Isaiah 61 refers to the future. It didn't refer to the ministry then of the Lord Jesus. So if we read on, I'll emphasize it to you in just a moment. And it says, "And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down." Remember that generally then the preachers or the teachers sat to speak. The Savior did that on the Mount, in the great Sermon on the Mount. And it says, "And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." So the portion that he had read of Isaiah 61, that fulfillment took place then in the life, the ministry of the Lord Jesus when he was here on earth. So that's the reason why he closed the book. Didn't finish the passage, didn't read the remainder. It didn't apply to that day. It didn't apply to then, to the first advent. It applies to a future time, to the second advent of the Lord Jesus. So I encourage you, you take the time to read Isaiah 61 yourself, the opening verses, and compare with what is recorded here in Luke chapter 4. "He began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Zidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the days of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Just think of the response to the sermon. Didn't go down very well. Were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him, the Lord Jesus, out of the city and led him onto the brow of the hill, known in Israel this day, if you go on the tours, the hill of the precipice. Led him onto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. We'll end our reading just there. We know the Lord will add his blessing today to this, the public reading of his word. Thank you for your presence with us today. We're glad to see each one that is present in the Lord's house. We're glad of your support, especially to those that are visiting in the Lord's house with us today. We're glad that you've come to join us. And our prayer is that the meeting will be an encouragement to your hearts. We're glad to see the children and the young people of the congregation that are present at morning worship. That's a blessing to us, and we want to encourage you in your attendance at the services. And we also welcome those that are watching the service, some of the members of our congregation, and some much further afield as well. To each one, we're thankful that you have joined us on the broadcast today as well. We thank sincerely all that helped with the cleanup on the church grounds yesterday. There was a very good turnout, including a number of the young people of the congregation. I know that was a blessing to all that were gathered. There was a lot of work that was carried out. The weather was very favourable. We're thankful to the Lord for that, despite an adverse forecast that was given earlier in the week. We thank those that made the tea, and we assure everyone that your time and your labours is very much appreciated, and may the Lord recompense each one for your work. Remember, please, tonight, 6 o'clock, the prayer time in the church hall downstairs, 6:30, the gospel service. Tonight it'll take the form of the parents' night for both our children's bright hours. The children have prepared their programmes and they will take part in the meeting. The speaker is our brother, Mr. Robert McConnell from the Cumber Church. And remember that the prizes will be given out at the close of the service, and then supper will be served for everyone. So we do ask the ladies if you could help us with the food for the supper, please. We encourage you to come along, even if you're not usually here on the Sabbath evening. We would want to encourage you to come tonight. You'll be blessed by that meeting. And do invite your family and your friends. Take it as an opportunity to encourage them to come to hear the gospel message. And please do remember that season of prayer just before the service tonight. Then tomorrow, 10 o'clock in the morning, is the parent and toddler group. 7:30 in the evening is the session meeting of the church in the minister's room. And then at 8 o'clock is the ladies' meeting, the ladies' fellowship. And that will be a home meeting for the ladies. So remember all of these services, and we encourage you to give your support to them. Tuesday night, as the season among the bright hours comes to a close, it is the outings for the bright hours. So there's no meetings this Tuesday night will be the outings. Then Wednesday at 8, the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. The Lord willing, I'll be here to conduct that service myself. Friday night, the Youth Fellowship are travelling down to Martyrs for the Easter Convention meeting. It is the youth rally on Friday night. The focus is on the Whitfield College, and the speaker will be the principal of the college, the Reverend Timothy Nelson. The bus will be leaving the Mall on Friday night at 20 to 7, so 6:40. Just to emphasise that for the young people. Next Lord's Day, the 31st of March, Easter Sunday, 10:40 the Sunday School and Bible classes, 11:30 the morning service. The Reverend Ray Kerskadden will be with us next Lord's Day morning. The Kerskaddens are home for some holidays over the Easter period. So our brother will be coming along to be present with us. He'll give a little report and preach, bring a message to us from the word of the Lord. 6:30 in the evening, the gospel service, and I'll be the speaker at that meeting myself. And again, we emphasize the importance of the half hour of prayer before both meetings, please. Remember the Easter Convention meetings. We've mentioned the youth rally on Friday night. Then there is the missionary rally on Saturday night at 7:30. Dr. John McKnight from Maryland in the United States is to be the preacher. If you remember, a few years back we had Dr. McKnight preach for us here one Sabbath evening when he was in Ballymena doing their annual Bible conference. And then Monday night is the convention rally. It begins at 7:00, and Dr. McKnight again will be the preacher. There's to be refreshments after all of the meetings, and we will put the advert up on the Facebook page during the incoming week with all the details upon them. Remember, please, the first aid training for the leaders and workers. It's a refresher course. It's to be held two Saturdays in April, the 20th and the 27th, from 9 o'clock both mornings. Remember, it will be paid for by the church. We encourage you to put your name on the sheet, the list, in the porch, and we would like at least one person from each department of the church to do the course. There's scope for more. So please put your name down there as soon as possible. I think those are most of the announcements. Just to ask you to remember our brother David Castles, continue just to pray for David in hospital at this time, that the Lord will guide the doctors. And we also want as a congregation to congratulate Mrs. Annie Werner on reaching her 99th birthday just yesterday. It's an amazing achievement by the Lord's goodness and strength, and we do pray that she will continue to know the Lord's grace and blessing for the days that lie ahead. So we're going to come to another hymn together just as we come to the scriptures this morning. It is the words of the hymn 427. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. None else can heal all our soul's diseases, no, not one, no, not one. So 427, we'll sing the odd numbers, 1, 3, and 5, please, and we'll stand together as we sing. Let's take a moment just to seek the Lord again. Father, we thank you for being with us today already, for guiding our footsteps to thy house. We thank you for the desire that we have to be here. We pray that that's a desire we might never lose. We pray as the years go by that it will strengthen and increase. We were able to say, Father, that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. We rejoice in your mercy. We rejoice that we're found here. We rejoice that we have your word. We ask thee, Father, to bless your word to our hearts. We ask thee to open it to us today. We pray it'll be a word that'll encourage every heart. We pray it'll be a word, Father, just for the hearts of your people here assembled, whatever their varying circumstances might be today. Thank you for our Saviour, the one that sympathises with us and in wondrous love imparts just the very, very blessing that we need. May we know his nearness today. And Lord, our cry would be that through this meeting and through the word of God that you will draw us closer in our walk with him. Answer these, our prayers. We offer them today in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Luke chapter 4. Our text is found in the words of the 18th verse. We encourage you to open the scriptures to find the place. If you notice in verse 17, there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book. So that's what we're going to encourage you to do today. Open the book, open the Bible. He found the place where it was written. It's good to be able to find the place. Somebody speaks to you about a passage of the Bible, to be able to turn to that passage just to know where it is. Remember, that only comes through constant reading and studying of the scriptures. But he opened the book and he found the place where it was written. I've emphasized to you already the place, Isaiah 61, those opening verses. Those were especially precious to the great American evangelist Billy Sunday, where it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. Billy Sunday generally opened the Bible at that passage every time he preached. That was not his text, but he set his preaching notes upon that passage. It was an acknowledgement from his heart that he needed that anointing of the Spirit to preach the word of God. So that's the passage that the Saviour opened. That's the passage that he found. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So that's setting out his ministry, the work that he was given to do during his first advent. And remember, I've emphasized the reason why he closed the book and didn't finish the passage. We're going to think especially of the words there in the middle of verse 18. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The theme of our message this morning, brethren and sisters, is hope for the brokenhearted. I want you to think with me for a few minutes today about your heart. And when I encourage you to think about your heart, it's not so much the large organ, the large muscle in your body that is responsible for pumping blood, the blood around your veins and arteries. But I want you to think today especially of the seat of your emotions and of your feelings, because that is something entirely different. But what I want to make clear to you at the beginning of the message this morning is that is often what the Bible means, and it is often what the Bible is referring to when it speaks of your heart. And it does that on nearly 300 occasions. And I make it clear to you that that is what our text is referring to when it speaks about the brokenhearted. It's the spiritual part of you where your emotions and your desires dwell. Can I remind you that God has a heart. It's not a tremendous thought. God has a heart. The Bible plainly teaches that in a number of places. David is described as the man after God's own heart. Jeremiah told Israel, and he said, I will give you pastors according to mine heart. So God has a heart. And remember, as you think of that God is a spirit. So his heart is not referring to something made of flesh. God's heart is the desires, the feelings, the emotions that he has. And it's the desires and the feelings and emotions that he has, especially for his people. And he has given that heart to you. Because remember, we are made in his likeness. So that is referring to the spiritual likeness that you have to God. So I want you to be clear, brethren and sisters, I want you to have no doubts. The heart is the seat of your feelings, the seat of your emotions. Sometimes it is said that he or she has no heart. You've maybe made that statement yourself. It seems they are hard, they're indifferent, they're callous. They act in all situations as if they have no feelings, they have no heart. But the reality is, everyone has a heart. There are no exceptions. Just some display their feelings more than others. Because keep in mind, we are all different. There's none of us that are the same. There is a saying that we wear our heart upon our sleeve. Maybe that's true of you. In other words, those people express their emotions and their feelings freely, because some people display their feelings more than others. But what I want to highlight, brethren and sisters, what I want to underline today especially, is that one of the worst things that can happen to anyone is to experience a broken heart, what our text is referring to. Jeremiah said, my heart within me is broken. Maybe that describes you today. Paul said, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? So Jeremiah in the Old Testament, Paul in the New Testament, they all knew about the experience that we're referring to. They all knew about a broken heart. This, brethren and sisters, is a tragic reality. I think that's a good way to sum it up, a tragic reality. And it can happen even to the Christian, even to God's people. And maybe that's your condition. That's how you feel as you sit in the meeting this morning. Let me take time to point out to you, the Bible also speaks of a broken and contrite heart. That's what we were singing about in that 30th paraphrase. The psalmist said, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. But that is something entirely different from what we are focusing on today. The broken and the contrite heart is speaking of a sense of your sin, humbling of yourself before God, submitting yourself to God's will. That's the brokenness of heart, and that's what is necessary, brethren and sisters, to blessing. That's what's necessary in our lives to please the Lord in the way that we live and walk with him. But by contrast, the broken heart of which our text is speaking is that serious condition when your heart is wounded, your heart is crushed, bleeding within, because of how you've been treated, because of the circumstances that you have been through or maybe are still passing through. You may never have told it or spoken of it, perhaps only to the Lord, whispered it to him in prayer. But today, you have to acknowledge you have a serious heart trouble. You're one of the multitude. And let me emphasize that to you. You're not on your own. You're one of the multitude suffering from a broken heart. A heart that no longer feels or works properly or works as maybe once it did. If you are, well, here's a text to encourage you today. Here's a text to encourage your heart, because it speaks of the healing of the brokenhearted. And I want us to consider that together, brethren and sisters. And I want to stress to you the title that we've taken for this message in this text, Hope for the Brokenhearted. May that be a blessing to you today. Notice, first of all, the source of the broken heart. Notice carefully the wording of the verse It says, He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. There's some who want to limit the text before us, to the unsaved, those that they call the spiritually brokenhearted. In other words, those whose hearts have been broken by sin, especially by a life of deep and serious sin. And if that's your condition today, we want you to know there's healing. We want you to know that there's salvation for you if you'll confess your sin and come to Jesus Christ for salvation. But notice carefully that the word spiritually is not found in the text. There's no limitation, no such restriction that is placed upon the verse. The reality is there are many brokenhearted people, and there are those whose hearts are broken for many very different reasons. For example, there are those whose hearts are broken because of death, the loss of a friend, loss of a family member, perhaps one that you were close to, that you loved dearly, a husband, a wife, mother, father, child. They were taken away from you, maybe unexpectedly, prematurely. And then there is the emptiness that that loss brings, the empty chair, the vacant place, the fact that in this life you will never have their company again. So death causes the heart to break. So does disease or sickness. That can break the heart as well. When you're ill or someone close to you is ill, especially a sickness that is prolonged, it runs on and on for months and years, there's no prospect of improvement. A sickness that robs you of your strength, that limits your movements, or there's that very serious illness when the prognosis is not good and the outlook is very bleak. Disease is a cause of the broken heart. So too is disappointment. Isn't it true, men and women? Life is full of disappointments. What bitter blows the circumstances of life can bring. Perhaps the way a child behaves, the way a child lives, the loss of a job or a business, something that you had your heart set upon, and now your hopes are dashed, it's no longer going to take place. How relevant and how pertinent in that context to the words of Solomon in the book of Proverbs, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. So disappointment breaks the heart as well. So does desertion. You think of those occasions when someone that you loved, someone you trusted, someone you depended upon, maybe a spouse, a family member, a friend, another Christian, and they leave you, forsake you, leave you in a very serious situation. And at times they can go even further because they turn against you and attack you and persecute you. David knew all about desertion, speaking of his friend and counselor and advisor Ahithophel, he said, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, was to eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Think too of the Savior. Think of how he must have felt, for we're told they all, not just Peter, they all forsook him and fled. So here, brethren and sisters, are some of the things of life, the main things, the main events or circumstances that are a cause of a heart that breaks. And the fact is, the sources, the causes of broken hearts are manifold. But be in no doubt today that Christ can heal and can cure them all. I want you to take hope from that today. It's clear from the scope of this text that he can deal with every broken heart, even yours. And I want you to know and grasp that regardless of the cause, that he has the cure. His grace is sufficient. His strength and his power is unlimited. So that's a little of the source of the broken heart. Think of the seriousness of the broken heart. You think of the words, he hath sent me. Those words give you an indication of the seriousness of the problem, the seriousness of the condition that a broken heart brings. You ask, how does it give an indication of the seriousness? Well, it was so serious that God sent his Son specifically to heal those who are hurting in this way. Let me point out that heartbreak has many consequences. For one thing, heart breaks severely, weakens you. In many ways, the heart is the source of strength. Therefore, if your heart is broken, so too is the source of your strength. You can no longer face life with all of your heart. But let me emphasize, brethren and sisters, the most serious aspect of this condition is it can be fatal. A broken heart causes death. Be in no doubt of that today. This can be a terminal sickness. The Bible says of Hezekiah, he was sick unto death. And those that have a broken heart can be sick unto death as well. You may never have considered it, but the fact is, many people have died from a broken heart. Multitudes have pined away in their grief and pain until they have died. Taken from this scene of time, it killed them. Many who have studied closely the life of Mr. Spurgeon believe he died from a broken heart at just 57 years of age. That was because of the great downgrade controversy in the Baptist Union in England. That was the great departure from the faith of the Baptist Union in the 19th century. The Baptist Union voted against the truth of the gospel, voted against Spurgeon himself and the stand that he took in the Baptist Union, and his own brother made the proposal against him. Died from a broken heart. Some of you are old enough to remember the events of 1966 in Aberfan in South Wales. The slag heap. A slag heap was all the rubbish, not the coal, but all the rubbish they brought up out of the mines, and they just kept piling it up and piling it up. And the water would gather at the bottom of those slag heaps, and sometimes they would shift, they would move. And that massive slag heap slid down the hill into a school, killed 166 children, 28 adults. They're all buried together. It's a solemn sight to stand in the cemetery there in Aberfan and see that row of graves, every headstone just exactly the same. A very striking thing in that cemetery is that near the graves of the children are the graves of some of their parents who died a very short time later, their hearts broken from loss of their children, and in some cases the loss of all of their children, their entire family. So don't undermine what we're speaking about today. It's a serious problem, serious condition. You ask, why does it become fatal? Well, because such people lose all will and all desire to live. They feel they have nothing left to live for in this world and in this life. And how wrong that is, men and women. Never forget that ultimately and primarily as believers that Christ is our reason for living. As Paul said in Philippians 1:21, to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And as you think of how serious this problem can be, what a warning it sounds to us. The warning is, don't neglect this condition if you or someone else is suffering from it. Don't neglect those that have it. They are in need of help. They're in need of care and they're in need of attention. And they need immediate, and to use the medical term, intensive care. Remember the psalmist declared in great agony, no man cared for my soul. How awful that must be. Nobody cared. May God touch our hearts today. Give us a heart that cares, a heart of sympathy, a heart even of empathy. May God give us the heart of Christ himself for the brokenhearted. Remember that this is one reason why the Lord gives us trials, brings us through the fiery trial. It's so that we can understand, we can identify more, we can sympathize and empathize more with what others are passing through themselves. So the seriousness of the broken heart. Think of the sorrow of the broken heart. The text refers to the broken hearted. Just take that word in, the first part of it, the broken hearted. That reminds us of the sorrow, the pain of the person experiencing this broken heart, the person whose heart is breaking. Remember, this world is a veil of tears. There is much that causes you to weep. You think that at the Passover, they had to eat the bread. The Passover itself had to be eaten with bitter herbs. And that's a reminder of life, brethren and sisters. The reality that there will be painful and tearful experiences, there will be bitter circumstances and bitter blows that we will all have to take and all have to receive in this life. But the greatest pain, the greatest sorrow of all, is the broken heart. The psalmist said, a wounded spirit, who can bear? So I want you to see there's no greater pain, no greater sorrow, no heavier cross than a broken heart. No pain and suffering of the body, no pain and suffering of the bones, however great, however persistent, can ever compare to the suffering that comes with a broken heart. I mentioned Mr. Spurgeon speaking on this subject. He stated, the heart is the center of sensation, and hence it being broken involves the acutest of pangs. So just think of those words, to sum it up well. It involves the acutest of pangs, the sorrow of this problem. Let me ask you to think of old Jacob. After the loss of his favorite son, Joseph, the son at that time that he believed was dead, and he declared to the rest of the family, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Can't you just feel and sense the agony of his heart and his soul? And you know, brethren and sisters, only God intervened. Only God stepped in, the healer of broken hearts. That's how Jacob would have died. He would have died as a broken-hearted old man, a heart broken by sorrow and a heart broken by grief. Often those in this condition, they feel no one cares, no one knows. No one feels the pain or understands the pain. I want you to know today, brethren and sisters, that's what you think, but that's not true. Many, others even around you in this meeting today, have experienced your pain as well. But especially remember that the Savior knows. The Savior cares. I read those words to you at the beginning of the meeting. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with a feeling of our infirmities. I want you to know, brethren and sisters, he can feel your pain today. Why is that? How can that be? Because he was brokenhearted too. The Psalm 69, one of the prophetic psalms, says of Christ, reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. He is the brokenhearted Savior. He knows your hurt today. He can identify with your pain, with your sorrow, and he wants to come alongside to help you and to heal you. Dr. Paisley, when visiting in a bereaved home, when my father, my brother both passed away, as my pastor, Dr. Paisley, called at our family home to sympathize with us. And on both occasions, he quoted from a hymn, and I know that it was his practice often to quote from this hymn when he called in such homes. He quoted the words of the hymn to be a help, a comfort, an encouragement to the family. Is there anyone can help us? One who understands our hearts? When the thorns of life have pierced them till they bleed, one who sympathizes with us, who in wondrous love imparts just the very, very blessing that we need. Yes, there's one, only one. The blessed, blessed Jesus, he's the one. When afflictions press the soul, when the waves of trouble roll, and you need a friend to help you, he's the one. The sorrow of the brokenhearted. The final thing I'll emphasize to you is the specialist of the broken heart. Look again at verse 18. Let me add a little bit of emphasis to it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So notice the emphasis in the verse on Christ. And I want to point you to him at the close of the message, the close of the meeting today. I stress to you, brethren and sisters, if you have a broken heart, don't try to heal it yourself. You'll fail. In all probability, you'll make the situation worse. What you need to do today is look away from yourself and look to Christ. You know, ordinarily, humanly speaking, this condition, this problem, a broken heart, it cannot be cured. It's something that is beyond the ability of man. It is beyond man's reach. But God, and let me emphasize that to you, that makes all the difference. God has remembered the brokenhearted. That's one of the things that this verse teaches us. God has remembered the brokenhearted. And he sent a healer. He commissioned a divine helper. In our medical system, we talk about a heart specialist. And maybe you're attending the clinic of a heart specialist. I have a little bit of experience of that myself, as you know. Can I remind you that the word cardio is the Greek word for heart? When we talk about a cardiologist, it comes from that Greek word, the heart specialist. But there is none more suited to that title, men and women, than the Lord Jesus Christ. So be encouraged. He's the greatest heart specialist of all. And he's an experienced doctor. Does not comfort and settle your heart today. Whenever you go to the doctor, especially with a serious health problem, you like to have a doctor that has a wee bit of experience. Will you think of the multitudes of broken hearts that he has helped and healed already? And remember, he's a doctor with a 100% success rate, because there's nothing that is too hard for him. The disciples once asked the Lord, why could we not cast him out? Remember, they failed to cast the demon out of the lad. The case was a case that was too hard for them. But that is not so of Christ. There's no case, no situation that is too difficult. There's no heart that he cannot repair. So brethren and sisters, he specializes in this work. Specializes in things thought impossible. And he can do what no other can do. So I assure you this morning, he hasn't come to scold you about how you got your broken heart in the first place. He doesn't get weary or impatient, as sometimes the doctors can, and sometimes the doctor does. The Lord Jesus has come to help you, and he's come to heal you. And he can do that because he's the one who can see your need. Remember, he can see our hearts. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that encouragement today? Think of the extent, the depth of your wound, the damage, the hurt that you're experiencing, the hurt that you're going through. Well, he can see it. The psalmist said, the Psalm 103, he knoweth our frame. Well, that's an encouraging little statement, brethren and sisters. He knows our frame, our mortal frame, our bodies. Knows us better than the doctor, even with all the modern technology and all the scans and so on that can be carried out. He knows every pain, every infirmity. He knows every hurt. He knows every damaged part of your mortal frame, your mortal body. You know, it's interesting. Alexander White was a famous Presbyterian preacher in Edinburgh in the 19th century. He produced a lovely series of books on the study of Bible characters, very profitable. There was an elder in his congregation who was a medical doctor, Dr. Joseph Bell. He actually taught medicine in the university in Edinburgh at that time. And he was the original Sherlock Holmes. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who wrote the Sherlock Holmes stories, was a medical student in Dr. Joseph Bell's classes. Dr. Joseph Bell had great powers of observation. That's why Conan Doyle based Sherlock Holmes upon Dr. Joseph Bell. Great powers of observation. Just by looking at someone, he could see the person's need, the person's condition, almost at a glance. He was a great physician. But brethren and sisters, there is a physician who is greater by far, because there is no one that knows you better than the Lord. And he knows how to soothe. And he knows how to salve the hurt that you have, the hurt that you're enduring just at this moment. I suggest to you there's three ways that he does that. The first is he does it by his speech. If you look at verse 22, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. What a challenge there is for us there. What an example for us to follow, the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. He also does it by his society. Remember, he's there. The Lord is present with you. The psalmist said, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. There's a special encouragement for every broken-hearted person in the meeting this morning. The Lord is nigh unto such. And the other way that he helps to soothe and to salve is by his Spirit. If you look again at the words of our text, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me. He's the anointed one. He's the Messiah. And you know that what he wants to do when he comes to you? To pour into your wounded heart the healing oil of the Spirit of the living God. So who can heal the brokenhearted men and women? There's only one. The blessed, blessed Jesus. He's the one. So I want you to see, as you think of these words, the message that has been delivered today, there is hope. If you're brokenhearted in this meeting today, that no one knows anything about, or very few know anything about, I want you to know there's hope. Hope for those that are brokenhearted. Let me say to you in conclusion, I remind you that the Savior read these words on the Sabbath day in the synagogue. And he did it in the town of Nazareth. And remember that he had grown up in the town of Nazareth. And he started his sermon that day by applying the scriptures to himself and by saying, this day, pinpointed that very day. Isn't that interesting? In applying the fulfillment of that scripture, he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And I want you to know, brethren and sisters, that that message is as fresh as ever. It's right up to date. We can still say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. What the Lord Jesus did in those New Testament times, he can still do, and he's willing to do today, if you will let him. If you will come to him, he will give you the word, and he will give you the touch this morning that you so desperately need in those very painful and trying circumstances. So hope, men and women, for the brokenhearted. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. May the Lord bless his word and make it a blessing to every heart in this gathering today. I think we could do no better than sing the words of Joseph Scrivens, great hymn about prayer, as we close. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Think of the words as we sing them. We're very familiar with them. Sometimes we can be too familiar, and we don't think of the words as we should. But we're going to stand together and sing all the verses of 625, please. What a friend we have in Jesus. Let's just bow together in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the meeting today. Thank you for the good word of God. Thank you for speaking to us with good words and with comfortable, as the prophet of old declared. Bless this message. Pray, write it upon every heart. Lord, we rejoice that you understand our needs. We rejoice, Father, that you've made provision for the brokenhearted. And we remember all, Father, in such circumstances in this meeting today. Put your hand upon them. We ask for the touch of the nail-pierced hand. We ask thee to do that work. We ask thee to perform that healing that only thou can do. Father, fulfill what is spoken of for the members of this congregation, what is spoken of here in this text. You sent your Son to heal the brokenhearted. And we ask thee, Father, to do that even this very day. We commit our way to thee. Bless us in our homes with our families this afternoon. And bless us mightily as we come again to the house of God tonight. We pray for, Father, a high day in the house of God. We pray for a day of salvation. We pray, Father, that our brother will be anointed tonight for the preaching of the gospel even in this house. And now we ask that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will be our abiding experience. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.